Well, Saul, he was, and he didn't want to take my time. I'm like Brother Banch said one time, we don't have no time, we're just living down here. So, amen. Guard, glad to be with you. Glad to have my wife with me. Glad to have my oldest unmarried grandson and oldest unmarried granddaughter. It's not their fault. With us. Amen. But we're glad to have them with us today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're proud of them. And Sister Rana had a miracle in her life, and I'll not tell you about it, but it was a physical healing, a miracle, a couple of weeks ago that is just amazing. It's amazing. It really is. You'd have to been there with us and seen her suffer and see her head draw and her arm draw and all kinds of things. Amen. And doctors warning her that she could die just real easy. And we thank the Lord for that miracle. Amen. Brother White, 79. I'm 70. It ain't hard for me to keep up with him. I just know I'm a little bit behind him all the time. Brother White, I got a nice card from my niece, James's, my dead brother's daughter. And it said, the nice thing about getting old and forgetful is that you meet so many nice new people every day. Hallelujah. And so, from me and Brother White to the rest of you new folks here, we hope you're as good as that last congregation we had. We preached here the last time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I do find myself forgetting names so bad that it's scary. But I would like to do well. I sit in the prayer thinking, I want to do well here more than anywhere because your people have always been so nice to me. But at the same time, if I was going to fail, I just as soon fail here as anywhere because I know you'll be nice to me after I fail. Yeah. So, I've got it, a winner either way. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I hope you're all set for this afternoon, 2 o'clock, Brother White. I always enjoy his preaching. Amen. Brother John Gabbard, I always enjoy his preaching and him in action. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we ought to have a good time today, this Lord's Day. I want to say something because I'm going to be mentioning the Lord today, and Brother Philip mentioned it, and I'm not going to preach on the sanctity of the Lord's Day, but I do believe in the Lord's Day. Amen. I really do. And the Bible talks about not doing your own pleasure. That's a pretty good way to keep things sorted out. Amen. 12th chapter of St. Matthew. We'll try to find Brother Philip. You're right, there is a little fight up here. That's all I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. Then, I was watching Brother Randy in the choir, and I watched their precision, the harmony, you know. And I got to thinking, it'd be nice if our church was like the choir. I don't know if we want to work that hard to get that precision and that harmony. But if we wanted to work that hard, maybe our church would be like the choir. Be nice for home was like that. But there again, that's work. 12th chapter. Amen. St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? How he entered in the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple, that is in the house of God, profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. I'm going to put an underline under that. I think something I want to underline in my study Bible. Guiltless. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he had departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? I think the reason why they said Sabbath days is because in John the 5th chapter, he healed that man, you know, and it was on the Sabbath day. And I say, yes, I'm getting that mixed up. Just hold on a second here. Let me think that all too. I've got some new thoughts, and I'm about to get messed up. Give me just a minute. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I think it's on John the 5th chapter. Heal that man, and they ask if it's lawful to take up his bed and walk. But they didn't say anything to Jesus. So now they're, did you know once you get a grudge, it'll be strange how long you'll carry that. Did you know that? I want to just go over to John the 7th chapter. Now this happened when he healed that man in the 5th chapter. And so after he healed that man in the 5th chapter, Jesus fed 5,000. He walked on the sea. He stayed at home for a few days when they went up to the feast. It had been several days. But when he did go up and they started talking to him, he said, I've done one work and you all marvel. And he was talking about the 5th chapter. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, or it doesn't break. What he said is it doesn't break the law of Moses simply because he was circumcised. It wasn't the law of Moses that gave him circumcision. It was God's covenant with Abraham. And it was on the 8th day God told him to circumcise. And so that's what he did. And he said, you're angry with me because I've made a man every whit old on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge right. He said, the reason you're fussing with me right now is because of something happened several days or possibly weeks ago, and you still got that in your heart. So here they are, they're talking to him, and they said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And that they might accuse him. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the reading of your word. Now, God, you know you're going to have to help me. I've got to get some things straight now. Ask, Lord, that you'd help me in this hour and help the saints to be attentive and help them be kind, Lord, in their considerations toward me, Lord, as I labor to try to preach what you've laid on my heart. Do bless this message this morning, we pray. And let you get glory out of it. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to try to preach. I don't know, but I'm going to try. But I in studying the book of Matthew, and I haven't got very far in it this year, but I've come to this one conclusion, that if I was a Pharisee, I would have tried to kill him too. I've just come to that conclusion. If I was a Pharisee, I would have been in for killing Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'll tell you why. He's a young preacher. He just started out, And when he first started out, the Pharisees were interested in him. They asked him many questions. They had him over for meals. You know, he was interesting. But they noticed something that was already irritating him, and that was he was a friend of sinners and publicans. That was irritating them already. Huh? And so they were pretty upset with him because of his eating with the publicans and sinners. And so, amen, they really broke with him, though, in the ninth chapter of St. Matthew, when he healed that man. Amen? And let me go back to that, and I'll tell you the reason why why they were. Amen. You remember that was a man sick of palsy. They let him down. And when he came down, he looked at him, and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, here's a young preacher just starting out, and he says, "I have the authority to decide all moral issues. I have the authority to decide who sins and who doesn't sin. It's my authority." That was terrible. But then he went on to say, "But that you may know that the Son of Man on earth hath power to forgive sin." He saith to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." Now then, he not only declares himself to have authority to forgive sin, tell who sins and who doesn't. He has the authority to forgive sins of those that are guilty upon this earth. Immediately. Amen. Didn't matter how I felt or I didn't feel. You know what I like about the Lord? When he said, "Take up a bed and walk," you just do that. Amen. You don't argue around and say, "Well, don't God, I don't feel like it." You know, amen. You just do it. Amen. So just bear with me just a little while. Here is a man. Mark said, they said, "This man speaketh blasphemies. Who can forgive sin but God only?" Now, I want you just, I know I'm dry, I know that. But if you'll let me, I'll help you, I think, this morning. I want you just go back with me to Exodus, about the 32nd chapter, and you don't have to turn there, but I want to read something to you. The people of Israel had made the two golden calves, and they were in bad trouble. Moses went before God, and he said, "Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin." That word "forgive" there, they tell me, and Brother Wild, I have to say they have to tell me because I don't know. They tell me it means, one thing it means to lift up, like if you lift up your eyes to make eye contact one another because there's a relationship there. Lift up your head. You're down. You're picked up. Amen. It means a lifting up or to carry or to bear. And so he said, if you will do that, amen, if not blot me, I pray thou, the book which is as written. We know the story how that Moses finally beseeched the Lord and he would show him his glory. And God said, "I'll put you in a place for me and you'll stand upon a rock and I will take thee by away mine hand and thou shalt see my back part." I remember saying this years ago and I don't know any difference, so I'll just say it again. That word, they tell me, has a literal meaning of the appearance that I will assume afterwards. I'll let you see what I'm going to look like afterwards. There was something about that when he saw that appearance that he's going to assume afterwards. And he said that when the Lord passed by, the Lord is gracious, the Lord God merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And I'll not read the rest of it. But after Moses saw his afterglory, Moses said, as he sought God, he bowed his head in worship, he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon." And this is a brand new word. It's never used anywhere else. And it has a meaning of forgiveness, the putting away, amen, the separation, if you please. It means to get rid of sin. Amen. It's only used, it's not about anybody else. It's never used in the Hebrew. They tell me in the Old Testament, it was never used about men forgiving one another. It always meant God forgiving the man. Amen. God doing the forgiving. And he said, "Pardon our iniquity and our sins and take us for thine inheritance." That's what he said about God. And only used it about God. Later on in the book of Psalms, amen, in the 86th chapter of the book of Psalms, I turn over to it, amen, David is crying out for help, begging God for mercy, And he said in the fifth verse, and he used the adjective part of it, he said, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." That's that same Hebrew word except the adjective, and it describes the character of God. Now, the Hebrews knew that. This is describing the character of God. And he said, "Thou, Lord, are ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." He was describing the character of God. And the Jews of Jesus' day knew that described the character of God. All right? Amen. I'm just trying to get to something. Then I'm going on over, and I'm not going to stay long with it, but I want to go over to Micah. Micah, you know, amen, his very name, if I can remember it right, whenever we talk about Micah, amen, the Bible talks us who is like Jehovah, what his name meant. Micah's name meant who is like Jehovah. Micah is the one that looked, and he lived in the time of Isaiah, maybe just a little later, but he preached against sin. He was a hard man against sin. He preached strong against Jerusalem and Samaria. But he's also the one that told us where Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. When he gets down to the end of his prophecy and he's about to close his book, I want to turn and read to you from the 17th chapter and the 18th verse. "Who is a God like unto thee?" Now remember, Micah's name meant who is Jehovah. And he says, "Who is Jehovah like unto you? Is there any God like unto you?" He said, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Amen. That pardoneth iniquity. And now here he meant, lift us up where we can face you. Amen. Lift us up where we can face you. "That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again." That means he'll have compassion on us. He'll turn again. He will have compassion upon us. "He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." We call it the sea of forgiveness. Now, look here. Amen. Here is what these Jews have been taught. This is the way God is. This is his character. This is the nature. When we repent, this is what he'll do. And here this man walks into that room and looks at that man. When that man's let down in his room, he looked at that man and said, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." Wouldn't you have been angry if you was a Pharisee? You see, right from the very beginning, you had to accept him as Lord or nothing. He didn't leave you no middle ground. You could accept him as something else. You had to accept him as Lord or nothing. Amen. And so he said, "Thy sins, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sin upon the earth." Right now, this present time, I have the power to forgive sin on this earth. Amen. I don't have to wait. I don't have to go beyond the cross. I don't have to wait. It wasn't mine. Right now, I can forgive. Who is a God like unto thee? Huh? Who is a God like unto thee? Hallelujah. Amen. He's not some angel like the Jehovah's Witness teaches to believe, or the Mormons. He'll never be satisfied with anything less than God manifested in the flesh. He forgave it. That was the beginning of his ministry. That was the very first thing. One of the very first things he did was heal this man. Not the first thing, but among the first things. Amen. And in front of the first things he did was teach us. Not only could he turn water into wine, but he could forgive sins, and he could say who sinned and who hasn't. Amen. No wonder when the Bible says in the psalmist David talking about, amen, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And then it said the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired today than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The psalmist David, amen, that was judged wrongfully after he had repented, amen, by Bathsheba's grandfather, amen, and tried to help overthrow his kingdom. He was judged wrongfully by very many after he repented. He said, "I'm glad that God is the judge." Hallelujah. Because he's a righteous judge. And that's more to be desired than anything else on this earth. One thing we ought to get in our mind is the fact that we're going to meet God. Amen. And God, for Jesus' sake, will forgive every one of our sins. And he'll wipe the slate clean. You may not can get them out of your memory, but he can get them out of his mind. And that's where it's important. I'm trying to preach to you. I'm trying to preach to you this morning.
that this one that we look at sometimes, we think so little about. Amen. The various religions, they have made him go back into some back hinder part. And they say, well, amen, after all, he is a son, or he's this and that. I'll tell you, he's the Almighty, Eternal God manifested through Jesus Christ, his son. And you can't change my mind over that. Because his first thing he did was said, I can charge you with sin, and I can forgive you with sin. Amen. The Bible said the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If that's not God, my friend, and I'm not a oneness, but if that's not God, I just don't recognize where God is. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. Hallelujah. Amen. And here these Jews are. Amen. They've come down to the place. They're already broke with him, but they're still attracted to it. The Jews had certain things that they felt was sacred. They had things that other religions around had the same thing. Their rites, their shrines, even their circumcision, the temple where God was supposed to rule and to dwell. There was other nations around them that had the same thing. But there was one thing that made them different from all the other nations. And that was the fact they were Sabbath keepers. No other nation did that. And not only did it mean that they were just given one day and God was to get the rest. They never looked at it that way. The way they thought about it was this, amen. It was a peculiar sign and symbol of the deepest things in the life of the people. Amen. When they stopped on that day, it was a special day. And so for that reason, they made vast laws and rules and regulations. And some was far out and stupid, but it was simply because they wanted to show God how much they appreciated that particular covenant that he'd given them of all the nations around. Only they were Sabbath keepers. Now we come to this. Jesus comes, and the Sabbath, as far as they're concerned, is, are you wore out?
No, sir.
Let me back up and say something. The reason why I said I would have been for killing him too is because I would have believed what I believed about my religion. You know, I think it's right to say if a man says he doesn't believe in discussing politics or religion, he doesn't have any firm ideas on it. Huh? Or arguing, maybe we should say. He just don't have any firm ideas. But you give a man firm ideas on something and let that man be convinced he's right. He'll discuss it with you. He'll take his stand on that. Amen. If you disagree with someone on their strongly held beliefs, you're a source of irritation to them. I don't care if it's just on cars. If you like Fords and I like Chevys, you think there's something wrong with me. Huh? Source of irritation to me. Amen. If you can show them they're wrong in their philosophy, and I sure can, but if you can show them they're wrong in their philosophy, you will sense their resentment, okay?
Yeah.
If you can show them, if you can be, you know, I remember years ago a Jehovah's Witness come by, and buddy, I mean, I had the victory. I put that thing on him, and he was gone a little while. He's a man I used to haul milk with, but I knew him. Amen, but I got him. But then two Mormons come by, and thought, ha-ha, I'll show them. And they showed me. They had everything in order. They were prepared for me. I wasn't prepared for them. I had no knowledge of what they really believed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And man, they began to put me up close. It was my face that got red. Huh? Hallelujah. They irritated me. I was glad when they were gone. I didn't go to church and brag how I told them. Huh? But let's go a little farther. If you prove them not only that they're wrong, but also show them that they're hypocrites in their strong belief, you will earn their undying hatred. And that's exactly where Jesus was starting. That's the reason why I said that if I'd have been a Pharisee, I'd have been in for killing him. Because he said, I'm God. I can decide who sins, and I can decide that I want to forgive that sin. That's my prerogative. Now here he comes along on the Sabbath day, and his disciples said, somehow, you know, the Bible said, he that the Son hath made free is free indeed. And he didn't have to tell them. Somehow they knew that it was all right to eat
that wheat on the Sabbath day.
Luke said they were rubbing it in their hands. So since they didn't have corn like wheat, God, I'd say it was corn of wheat. Amen. And so they rubbed it. Somehow they knew that was all right. And somehow those Pharisees knew that he was responsible. Because they didn't go to the disciples. They went to him and said, why do thy disciples? They want to know. Do that which is not lawful. Jesus did not say it wasn't lawful that they were doing. What they were doing, as far as I'm concerned, was not lawful. Amen. But he did remind them of how David, when he was fleeing and had his soldiers with him, he went to the priest there and at the house of God, and he went in there and he ate bread, there was shewbread there at the house of God, and he was all right. He was their pride and joy. He was the one that was the highest esteemed of anybody in Israel. And here this young upstart preacher, amen, not only claims the right to know who sins and forgive those sins, he comes along and his disciples are eating on the Sabbath day, and instead of arguing it's not lawful, he reminds them of their hero, their patron, their saint, that he did the same thing, and they thought nothing of it. Now you talk about getting mad. As I said before, when you can show them that their belief is wrong and that they're erring and they're hypocrites as well, and that's what he did, because he went on to tell them, said, you let the priest profane the Sabbath and you don't hold them guilty. They work at the temple and you don't hold them guilty. Man, you talk about burning with rage, amen. You talk about seething in anger, amen. He's burning them up, amen. And he goes on to tell them there when he comes to that, and he's talking about this. Now I want to turn back to that. Amen. And just talk to you a little bit. And so he said when he comes out, he said how that they went in the Sabbath on the priest in the temple, profaned the Sabbath and blameless. But I said to you that in this place there's one greater than the temple. Let me ask you a question. What made the temple so special? What made the holies of holies in that temple so special, Brother White? What was it in that holiest of holies? What was supposed to be there? The presence of God. Amen. Right?
Right?
Huh? It was the, amen, place of God's residence.
Right.
And here is a man that tells him, I'm greater than God's residence.
Yeah.
Huh? How can you be greater than God's residence except you be God himself?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. We're a temple of the Holy Ghost. A habitation of God through the Spirit. But this man who is the Son of God, he said, and therefore he said, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And in the ninth chapter, and this sixth chapter as well, 11th chapter, 12th chapter as well, amen, he quotes Hosea 6 and 6. He said in the first place, he said, go and learn what it means, amen. They evidently didn't get the lesson. But in the 12th chapter, he said, for if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would have not have condemned the guiltless. I'm trying to tell you this morning, amen, this Jesus Christ that we serve, this Jesus Christ that we worship, this Jesus Christ that is Lord of the Sabbath day, and is also Lord of the Lord's day, if you please, amen. Praise God. Amen. He would look at those people and he said, you there are not guilty because I'm the one that showed them mercy. And you can't go any better than that. Amen. They reminded him of Hosea. Hosea was a type and picture of the unfaithfulness of Israel. And he had an unfaithful wife. Amen. She should have been stoned before he married her. She should have been stoned after he married her, but he showed her mercy. Amen. And when God used that, he said in Jeremiah, amen, that according to the law, there in the third chapter, amen, Israel should have been killed because of what she'd done in committing spiritual adultery. But he said, return unto me, for I'm married to the backslider. Amen. The Bible said that he magnifies his word above his name, but when it comes to you and I, my friend, with the apple of his eye, and if he can at all, amen, he'll lay aside the old law and show you mercy that you might be saved. Why? Because the Bible said he had a man that had a withered hand. And he healed him on the Sabbath day. Is it lawful? And he said, would you take care of your sheep? They said, sure we would. He said, you take care of your sheep and I'll take care of mine. He laid claim on the whole human race. Because in this world it's not sheep and goats. That's for the judgment. It's sheep. Hallelujah.
And he laid claim on every living person in this world. Hallelujah. That they were his. You see what I'm saying? Then they went out and helped counsel his and how they might destroy him. You know what he did? It's the same Sabbath day, and the Bible says Jesus did it. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed, and he healed them all. Glory be to God. All right. Who is the God like unto thee? Right. Where will we find the God like thee? If I go to the Moabites, amen, they'll demand me to sacrifice my son or daughter to appease to their God, amen. But when I go to God, he demands that I allow him to sacrifice his son and appease the mind of God that I might be saved. Who is a God like that? Can you find him in any religion on the face of this earth? No. It's only in the law and the love of Jesus Christ. Perfect law of liberty. Oh, I wish I could preach this to you this morning. I've thought about it. I've looked at it. And I looked at Jose and said, if you'd known, but if you just studied this a little bit, he said, if you just look this over a little bit, amen, you would understand why I would have mercy. I'm the God that created that man. I gave that man the appetite. He's hungry. But you can't see that. Because all you can see is a young preacher that's got his disciples together, and he's sending out a missionary and evangelistic tours, and the Sabbath day comes, and that poor soul ain't got enough to feed him. He's so poor, he can't feed him. Hallelujah. But the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He didn't know it, but he was the one that made the rain grow, fall, that the wheat might grow. Hallelujah. And he was just feeding them off his bountifulness. Amen. I've come across something. I hope it won't wear you out. I don't mean to. But I come across something that really blessed me and helped me. Amen. I was looking at that. I was wondering why, amen, that they would circumcise on the eighth day. And I thought of something. I'd read a Dr. S.I. Macmillan's book on none of these diseases. And he got to talk about why God made it a law to circumcise a child on the eighth day. And the circumcision was because at this time the clotting of the blood would come to its fullness. Amen. That blood would clot. Amen. Another thing, the resistance to disease from any cut. Amen. Would it be at its highest? Amen. You could do that circumcision, there'd be no disease, no infection. Amen. Amen. The blood clotting. I'd probably, if you'd find out, the least amount of pain at that time. A lot better than waiting 40 years like Joshua did. I'm just telling you. You know why God would say that? They're blameless. Why that? Amen. They didn't break the law of Moses. Why didn't they? Because God said, amen, I put them above everybody else. Amen. If they haven't eaten on the eighth day because of their safety, I know we want to see miracles. I know we want to see moves of God, and I don't blame you. But at the same time, if God would look down at some hungry apostles and he could have said, you aren't hungry, and they would have been hungry. He said, you ain't going to be hungry all day, and they would have been hungry. But they were hungry. That is the natural thing, to hunger. And God said, I'll set aside my word and feed you. Hallelujah. You're guiltless. Glory be to God. What? You know what I'd like to ask you this morning? I'm not going to make any statements. But preachers, I'd like to know, how far can we go in that? And when we have to consider the natural needs of people, how far could we go with that? Where would we go with it? Would we have mercy and not sacrifice? Well, you got yourself into this. You just might as well live with it. Amen. Just pray for God's grace. Amen. I wish they'd have told them that boys when they started picking that corn. There's something about me that feels like it's all right to eat this corn. No, it's not. You got yourself into this. You're the one that took up that poor thing. Started out preaching with him. If you'd have went with us, we'd have had a way to feed you without breaking the law. We'd have took care of you. We'd have seen you through. But no, you didn't do it. You went with him. So since you're with him, amen, just go hungry. But he said, not so. Hallelujah. If God cares for a baby 8 days old, and he's interested in that baby being taken care of because of its ability to resist infection, and also its ability for its blood to not bleed to death, then why wouldn't God be interested in poor, lost people today? That they're like Nineveh. They don't know the right hand from the left. They have no idea of right and wrong. They have no idea what's right, what's wrong.
For the most part, I know here in the mountains there's a lot of people that are backslidden that do know. But we're dealing with a lot of people who don't know anything. I mean, absolute ignorance. Amen. Don't know anything about God or His Word. Amen. Can we portray to them a Jesus Christ that can lovingly help them and save them and give them a place in the body of Christ? Amen. I'm wondering, can we do that? I'm not trying to upset you. I don't do it for nothing, as I said before. But I'm just trying to tell you some things that's on my heart. Amen. Here they are. They're hungry, they're tired, and they're thirsty probably. I don't know about that. But anyway, they're hungry, and the Lord said, I'll take care of you hungry. Amen. And so they knew it would. I'm telling you, my friend. Amen. This one that claims authority over our sin and over the forgiveness of our sin and over the ability to feed us when we're hungry, take care of us when we're babies, and the one that said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Amen. God said, if you'll just show some mercy, it'll be better than a sacrifice. What sacrifice could David give for his sin? Amen. And God, he told God, I'd do anything as far as sacrifice. But God said in the 51st chapter, amen, as far as David's concerned, there's not a sacrifice. But when the sacrifices play out, the mercy is still going. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we have a God that's willing to save a lost and dying world from their sins, give them forgiveness, and put them in the body of Christ?
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who is a God like Him today? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 How about Him? Can He do it at this camp meeting? In the book of Hebrews, God was up on the testimony stand, and He looked at His Son. And he said unto his Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Hallelujah. He can do it today. And the Bible said we're to consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning to someone, you've done something in the past, it's bad. Amen. You've asked God forgiveness, but you sometimes feel like you haven't been forgiven. It just seems like you're overwhelmed by the fact that you haven't been forgiven. And yet, you can get in church, you feel the presence of the Lord. And you wonder, why am I that? I want to tell you why. You're still battling the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's one here this morning, and in their past, they have done things that they're ashamed of, they wouldn't want anybody to know about. And Lord, we can understand that. Everybody more or less has. Some haven't, but many have. God, we're not asking to know what they've done. We just want you to let them know they can be forgiven and have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And if their memory doesn't fade, their thanks shouldn't either. When they think of it, they should lift up their hands and praise God who forgives all our iniquities. Amen. And cast our sins in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been forgiven of your sins and you know it. Amen. Maybe you've been struggling. That doesn't matter. Would you just lift your hands right now and say, God, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, who God, for Christ's sake, amen, forgave me of my sins. Thank you, Lord. For the fact that even though my memory retains some things, the mind of God is blank because the blood has covered all my sins. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 If there's one here this morning, you've been struggling with this. You come to the altar and prayed. Then you go back. For a little while you feel good. Then you feel bad again. Would you like to come to the altar this morning and just kneel down and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Hallelujah. I'd like for somebody to come to piano, keyboards, whatever. Amen. I'd like for Brother David Horton to get that song, What a Savior. Let's sing, Once I Was Straying in Sin's Lost Valley, Dark Valley. Amen. Can you do that, Brother David? Have you got it there for us? Amen. Whoever's playing, just come right on. I'll tell you, I feel like this morning we ought to sing it loud and clear. Hallelujah. To know that we've been saved. Hallelujah. And to know that we've been saved. To know that God has forgiven our sins. Hallelujah. Now, you know my sins. I can remember them. But I thank God they're under the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come right on and help us this morning. Have a warrior out of them. Let's stand.